Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
We have waves of cold rain moving across our viewing area. Once the rain moves out, it will get even colder. We'll talk about some bitter wind chills headed our way after this moves out.
Also new this noon, WRAL has new information about the background of a man who killed two women allegedly and a dog in Wake County, his link to the U.S. military.
President Biden is headed to North Carolina this week. Michelle McConaughey is in the WRAL Live Center with what's on his agenda.
It is a wet and uncomfortable afternoon out there with a cold rain falling across most of our viewing area. We've team coverage of the blasts of winter air headed our way and how crews are preparing for it. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. We begin with meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRAL Severe Weather Center to talk about when the rain moves out and the bitter cold moves in.
You can see the back edge of at least this band of precipitation moving through, but there's plenty of it down to our south that's likely to move through during the afternoon. It's probably going to be mid-afternoon before we see the very end of it. We did have some pink showing up around Person County just a couple of hours ago. No reports of anything frozen there. It looked like that maybe we could see some brief freezing rain, but to start with, when the temperatures were cold enough, the precipitation was too light, and now that it's a little heavier, temperatures have really warmed up. So we're looking at some scattered rain from the Triangle area north and east. We'll zoom in on Roxborough, and again, you can see the beginning of the loop, a little bit of pink there, but there's no indication that we've had anything frozen there, and temperatures are rising above freezing there. Now, we head back down to the south, and we're seeing some scattered rain right around the Triangle from Durham to Apex to Raleigh, heading up north and east, Wilson, Rocky Mount, heading in that direction. But we will continue to see more of this, most likely redeveloping across our area through the afternoon. Futurecast wants to show the back edge of this as a little frozen precipitation, and that's not completely out of the question, but it's not likely to be anything that would cause any issues. Maybe a flurry on the back end of that from Raleigh northward. By 5 o'clock, it's out of here, and we start to see the wind picking up and the temperature is really falling. So our best chance of rain is up until around 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and then it starts to taper off. This is a look at some of that steady rain there in North Hills. It's 39 degrees. It is an uncomfortable afternoon to be outside, and a bit breezy in a few places. Roxborough is at 32, but feels like 26. It feels like 30 in South Hill. Feels like 37 in Durham. It feels like 44 in Southern Pines, 41 in Goldsboro. The wind chill will be a much bigger issue as we get into tonight and early tomorrow. Our actual highs this afternoon will be in the upper 40s, and then we drop into the 20s. I'll show you what the wind chill will feel like late tonight and early tomorrow coming up.
And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, the winter weather that we've seen over the past couple of days across the country has really been affecting airports everywhere. Right now at RDU, we are talking 62 delays and 25 cancellations. This has gone up drastically from this morning. Southwest and American Airlines seem to be the most affected. If you take a look across the country right now, 4,236 delays and 1,800 cancellations. Just to put this into perspective, earlier this morning, we were talking about 500 delays within the U.S., so not a very good time to be traveling. If you are traveling, check your flight before you head out the door.
And as the cold air moves into our area, agencies in our viewing area are getting prepared. WRAL's Destiny Patterson is live in downtown Raleigh with that part of our team coverage. Destiny.
Well, Jeff, I just talked to the Duke Energy spokesperson, and he tells me that they do expect to be able to meet the demand for those frigid temperatures this week. The state's emergency management office tells me that these cold temperatures can put a strain on the electric grid. But Brooks says that they can buy more energy from neighboring utilities if that comes necessary. So now is the time to prepare an emergency kit, just in case that you do lose power, like lanterns from batteries, as well as making sure that you have canned foods. Things like candles and portable heaters can also help, but you have to make sure to keep those away from other objects so that you don't start a fire.
I'm not looking forward tonight. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to save my heat tonight and tomorrow, too.
Is there anything that you do differently when it gets really cold like that?
Sleep under more covers and put more clothes on. That's about the best that I can do.
So all of us are definitely going to be prepared for those cold temperatures as they move in. I talked to another person, and she says that she wished that snow would come with these cold snaps. NCDOT says that they do have dump trucks that will be on standby in the event that that does happen, and those will have both salt and sand on those.
At least it's a little prettier if it's snow instead of the rain. Destiny Patterson live in Raleigh for us this noon. Destiny, thank you. You can stay on top of the latest storm developments with the WRL News app. Watch our live newscasts and get the latest forecast. Download the app for free from the Apple and Google app stores. Be sure you have the WRL News app installed on your phone. You can turn on the alerts and get notified about severe weather in your area.
New information related to the breaking news that unfolded in Apex yesterday. Two women and a dog were shot and killed in the afternoon. Within the last hour, we've learned more about the neighbor who is in jail right now, charged with murder. WRL's Chelsea Donovan joins us live from the townhome community on Brussels Drive. Chelsea.
Yeah, Renee, we're still working to learn the identities of the two women that were shot and killed. We know that one of them lived here at this townhome community in Apex. You can see the small memorial that has now that's now sitting out here as community members and neighbors are leaving their condolences. Actually, just got an email a few minutes ago from the police chief here in Apex, and I want to bring you these breaking details. They actually haven't identified these two women. They're in the process of talking to family. Once they have that confirmed, of course, we'll bring you that information. We do know from the police chief that this man did know the two victims, and they were actually found dead in the yard. They did say, Apex Police, that they have recovered multiple weapons here at the scene. And as you mentioned, late-breaking details in regards to the suspect, we now know that he is a former Army captain.
Take a look at this video of 1618 Brussels Drive, the home of Harry Hardman. You can see the window is blown out, shattered glass everywhere. Inside, there is stuff strewn about. Directly across the street, you can see a bullet that hit the siding of this home on Chipping Drive. It's now a memorial, assumingly for the two women. Flowers and candles now sit on their front stoop. Around 3 p.m., this quiet community of Southwalk became a crime scene as neighbors report hearing 6 to 8 gunshots. When officers arrived at the home on Chipping Drive, they found two women who had been shot. Both victims were taken to the hospital where they later died. Officers also found a dog that had been shot and killed. Broadcastify radio traffic stating both women were shot dead in the street.
Two patients, both GSWs to the head and one also to the chest. We do have a pulse on one.
Quickly, Apex Police took this man into custody, 37-year-old Harry Hardman, who lives in the neighborhood, charging him with two counts of murder and animal cruelty. The Army confirmed today that Harry Hardman was a captain and served from 2005 to 2019.
All right, so coming back out here live to Brussels Drive in Apex, you can see photojournalist Keith Baker zeroing in on that door here where the glass is shattered. We've shown you in that video, and I'm going to step aside because these are investigators from the Apex Police Department now currently on the scene, of course, gathering evidence, and you can see they've just now opened the garage door. So as you can imagine, this is still a very active scene here in this community. I do want to mention that Harry Hardman is currently in the Wake County Detention Center under no bond. He's charged with those two counts of murder as well as animal cruelty, as we mentioned that the dog was shot in this incident. So, of course, we'll stay on top of this. Harry Hardman due back in court at 1:30. Of course, we'll bring you details from the courtroom.
As we await the names of the two women who lost their lives in this, Chelsea Donovan reporting live from Apex. Police are looking for the person who shot a man in a new neighborhood in Northeast Raleigh. Police say the shooting happened near the LGI Riverwalk Homes off of Buffalo Road just before 6 this morning. A man was shot and is in the hospital. His name and condition have not been released.
And happening right now in the WRL Live Center, we are following some breaking news. We have just learned that President Biden will be in North Carolina on Thursday. He'll be in the Raleigh-Durham area. We've also learned that while he is here, he will talk about his economic policy. He'll talk about rebuilding infrastructure, lowering costs, as well as creating good-paying jobs. This is something we will be following very closely in the coming days.
Republican candidates for president are turning their attention to New Hampshire, where voters will cast their ballot in that state's primary next week. Former President Donald Trump won the GOP nod by a landslide at last night's Republican Iowa caucuses. Hallie Jackson reports he even signaled that the other candidates should unite behind him.
It's now off to New Hampshire.
Former President Trump this morning setting his sights on New Hampshire and the general election.
This is the first because the big night is going to be in November.
After cruising to a win in the Iowa caucuses with a record margin of victory, coming in at 51% of the vote, his rivals trailing far behind. Mr. Trump now making the case for his competitors to coalesce behind him.
I really think this is time now for everybody, our country, to come together.
The former president winning nearly every voting bloc, including caucus goers without a college degree, the very conservative, white evangelicals, and those over 65.
He's okay. A man that will say what he thinks and tells the truth.
The night showing many Republicans intense loyalty to Mr. Trump. Despite the former president facing 91 felony charges, two-thirds of caucus goers consider him fit to be president, even if he were to be convicted of a crime, according to our NBC News entrance polls. They also showed a majority agreed with Mr. Trump's lies that the 2020 election was illegitimate. Across Iowa, historically low temperatures and low turnout, too, with roughly half the number of caucus goers compared to 2016. But for Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, enough supporters showing up to boost him to a second place finish as he edged out former U.N. Ambassador Nikki Haley for second place.
We've got our ticket punched out of Iowa.
All smiles for DeSantis in a state he invested heavily in and once predicted he'd win outright. Now, a rationale to keep his campaign going.
We have a lot of work to do.
The focus now shifting to New Hampshire, where the margins appear much closer.
We're on to New Hampshire.
Haley looking to gain ground on Mr. Trump, who has only a single-digit lead in recent polling.
Our campaign is the last best hope of stopping the Trump-Biden nightmare.
That was Hallie Jackson reporting. Fresh off the Iowa caucus, former President Trump is in New York for the start of a new civil damages trial. The trial involves Trump's public comments about E. Jean Carroll that he made both while he was president and after the jury's verdict in May. The jury found him liable for sexually abusing and defaming Carroll. Carroll was awarded $5 million in damages. After attending the start of the trial, Trump will travel to New Hampshire for a campaign event tonight.
Today, Wake County Public School leaders will discuss making March 5th a day off for students. That's the day of the primary elections, and many schools serve as polling places. The board is not expected to vote on this today. Wake County schools did not hold classes on Election Day in November 2022 in order to limit stranger access to school buildings. A vote on the proposal is expected next month.
Next at noon, an accused serial killer is charged with another murder. Details coming out of court today about the Gilgo Beach killings in New York.
Also, return to sender, sort of, why the failed lunar lander will not make it back to Earth.
Plus, Durham City Council chose its newest member today, and at 12:30, we'll tell you who takes the seat vacated by the current mayor.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
Accused serial killer Rex Heuermann appeared in court this morning, where authorities announced a fourth murder charge in the ongoing Gilgo Beach murders case. Heuermann was previously charged in the killings of three of the four women who in 2010 were found bound in similar fashion with burlap, belts, and tape on the Long Island oceanfront. In July, prosecutors called Heuermann the prime suspect in the murder of the fourth woman, Maureen Brainerd Barnes. She disappeared in 2007, becoming the first of the so-called Gilgo Four to vanish. Charges in her killing were delayed, pending DNA test results on a hair recovered from her remains. Attorneys for convicted murderer Alex Murdaugh appeared in court today as they take steps to overturn his murder conviction. His lawyers want another trial in the killings of the former lawyer's wife and younger son, citing allegations that the court clerk improperly influenced the jury. The defense will get to put forth evidence at the three-day hearing later this month. During that hearing, jurors, the clerk, and even the trial judge might have to testify under oath.
This week, the Department of Justice is expected to release its review of the law enforcement response to the shooting at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas. Community grief counselors will be made available after the release of that report. The May 2022 shooting left 19 children and two teachers dead. More than 370 law enforcement officers responded to the scene, but it took more than an hour to stop the gunman who had holed up in two adjoining classrooms. Four students are recovering after what's being called one of the most daring rescue attempts at Red River Gorge in Kentucky. The students got stranded in the snow and freezing temperatures while they were hiking. They realized they couldn't climb down the terrain because snow had covered the area and they didn't bring any ropes. Crews flew in by helicopter while another team hiked up the gorge to connect with the group and whisk them away.
See, anytime we have to hike in to rescue somebody, it's difficult. But when it's 15 degrees outside and it's snowing, it ups the ante a lot more.
The students say the forecast did not indicate there would be that much snow, and they were in good spirits and didn't need medical attention. They were just extremely cold.
The Peregrine lunar lander is headed back to Earth today. The lander developed a critical fuel leak hours after launch on January 8th. On Saturday, the propellant leak had slowed, but the company behind the mission will allow it to burn up as it re-enters Earth's atmosphere. The Peregrine mission would have been the first American company to send a spacecraft to the moon in more than 50 years. But a lesson learned in each launch, and no matter what happens.
Yeah. Nobody burning up out there today for certain with our temperatures. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center. It's going to get worse this week, too.
It is. Boy, we've got a couple of Arctic blasts that are headed our way. One of those tonight into tomorrow and another one over the weekend. Right now, we're dealing with some chilly rain. It is moving out of the Triangle area and on up here to the north and east, especially up on the northern end of I-95. Halifax County, Northampton County in particular, I'm seeing some of that rain, but also Edgecombe County down here as you head toward Rocky Mount and Wilson as well. But you can see over there around Roanoke Rapids, moving out of Henderson, and that little batch of rain, you know, really kind of heading out of the region. But we widen the view out, and we have another low that's down off the coast, and it is likely to feed more moisture up towards South Carolina and eventually back into our viewing area. But by the time we get to the middle of the afternoon, we should start to see that tapering off. There's the potential, if we get cold enough air to catch up with the precipitation, that maybe a few folks in our northern counties could see a quick changeover to snow or some sleet before it ends, but it looks like that's unlikely for most of us. And even if you do see it, it's just going to be a flurry or two. Nothing's going to stick. But we will dry out tonight, and then temperatures are really going to start to plummet. It's going to be a very cold night tonight and a chilly day tomorrow. Right now, we're looking at some light showers in Rocky Mount. So this is a look at Rocky Mount Mills. Rain just moved through there, and you can see it is wet. And the Triangle, it is 39, so it's chilly and rainy. 30s, doesn't get much more uncomfortable than that in terms of a rainy day. Temperatures likely to climb on up into the mid, maybe upper 40s in a few spots. Looking at 48 in Raleigh, 45 Durham, potentially into the 50s down in Fayetteville. But we're going to see the cold blast coming in. This purple color is very cold air that will move in. So Arctic blast for today and into tomorrow. Temperatures will moderate. They don't come up above normal, but moderate a little. And then we see another band of purple that drops in on us for the weekend. Saturday and Sunday, we'll see highs in the 30s. Cold mornings, too. 32 is our normal low. 19 for tomorrow morning, 23 on Thursday, normal on Friday at 32, but then 20 on Saturday and 17 on Sunday. So we have a stretch of some cold temperatures to deal with. Again, tomorrow morning, 19, but it'll feel more like 13 or 14 at about 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning. And during the afternoon, 41, but it will feel like 31 as the winds really start to kick up. And we'll show you some of those winds for tomorrow. It'll be a little bit on the gusty side. Temperatures are a bit warmer on Thursday and Friday. Friday, there's the chance of some scattered rain. We're going to be watching that closely. The models are still not in very good agreement about how much, if any, rain that we may see. We're going to hold it at about a 40% chance. I'll walk through the more aggressive model for you coming up in about 30 minutes. Saturday and Sunday, chilly again. Look at that, 17 for Sunday morning. I'll show you what the wind chills will feel like for our weekend mornings coming up in just a bit.
Elizabeth, thanks. There are some good post-holiday deals right now on some great products. Today on your news at 4, 5 Underside's Keely Arthur breaks down some of the best buys you'll find to start 2024.
And tonight at 6, North Carolina is now the fourth state to release school guidance on how to handle new AI technology. WRL's Heidi Kirk looks at how schools are embracing AI and its usefulness and where they're most concerned.
After hitting record highs during the pandemic, champagne sales appear to be fizzling. What industry experts say is to blame for the drop.
And since the pandemic, many workers appear to expect hybrid working environments. Coming up, one expert explains why managers appear to be on board with it.
Welcome back. You're looking live at Sanford, where showers pass through. You're watching WRL News, available on Hulu and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device.
A nice debut for Mean Girls at the box office, and Apple is dropping a feature on some of its newer watches. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
Apple will remove the blood oxygen sensor from some of its smartwatches. The move will allow the company to avoid a ban on selling the watches in the U.S. Apple had to stop selling the devices last month during a patent dispute over the blood oxygen sensor. And the U.S. International Trade Commission found the tech giant had violated patents of Masimo, a medical technology company. The dispute centers on some of Apple's newer watches, including the Series 9 and Ultra 2. After a surge as the pandemic ended, people are now buying a lot less champagne. Total shipments of bubbly from France sank to 299 million bottles last year. That was a drop of 8.2% from 2022's level of 325 million bottles. And last year's figures were more in line with pre-pandemic levels. Inflation gets part of the blame for the drop, along with the overall state of the global economy. And it was a nice debut for Mean Girls. The musical took in more than $33 million at the long holiday weekend box office. That was good enough for the number one spot. Second place went to another newcomer, The Beekeeper. It rang up more than $19 million in ticket sales over the four-day weekend. And Wonka finished third with $11 million in sales. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ Market Site.
A growing number of consumers are falling behind at making credit card payments on time. The Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia says all stages of delinquency, 30 days, 60 days, 90 days late on payments, saw increases in the third quarter of last year. Delinquency rates are approaching their highest level since 2012.
Honda will debut its new Honda Zero electric vehicle series in 2026. The auto manufacturer will launch the eco-friendly cars in the United States first, followed by Japan and then Europe. The move comes as part of the company's efforts to completely eliminate gas-powered cars from its lineup by 2040. Honda is working to achieve carbon neutrality by 2050. Researchers in Japan say they've developed technology that allows people to share taste. Developers collected and analyzed data on how one perceives taste and then quantified that data. This device then generates the taste that was perceived by an individual by mixing solutions. Developers say the technology can someday be used in the metaverse or combined with film and animation experience.
Many employers adopted hybrid work schedules during the pandemic. Why industry leaders say that dynamic is here to stay.
Also, Iran fires missiles at a compound, killing four people. How the action is heightening regional tensions. And here's a look at the winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra-high definition, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Durham City Council chose their newest member this morning. Chelsea Cook will fill the Ward 3 vacancy created when now Mayor Leonardo Williams vacated that seat. WRAL's Monica Casey was in the room and shows us the process.
Durham City Council members told the four finalists here today they are impressed with the work they've already done for the Bowl City, and they're hopeful they'll stay involved in bettering Durham.
We're here today to select the person that will fulfill Ward 3 seat.
In the initial city council discussion, both Chelsea Cook and Sheila Huggins received three votes. After the tie, council member Nate Baker changed his vote to Cook, giving her the four she needed to win.
At this time, I'm willing to compromise on someone who we can get to four on this morning. And right now, it sounds like that is Chelsea Cook.
Cook's application says she's been an attorney with the Legal Aid of North Carolina's Durham Eviction Diversion Program for the past 4 years. She lists her top three priorities as affordable housing, a living wage, and beautification. At the end of the meeting, Mayor Pro Tem Mark Anthony Middleton and Mayor Leonardo Williams also changed their votes to Cook as a show of support.
As an act of goodwill,
to our new colleague. I want to change my vote to Chelsea Cook as well.
Cook will be sworn in at tonight's city council meeting. It starts at 7 o'clock. Monica Casey, WRAL News in Durham.
Charges are pending against a wrong-way driver who caused a crash that injured six people, including three children. This happened just before 7 last night on I-95 in Johnston County. The wrong-way driver in a white pickup collided with a black pickup truck headed south. Investigators have not released the names nor conditions of the people involved.
Iran fired missiles at what it claimed were Israeli spy headquarters near the U.S. consulate in northern Iraq. The U.S. condemned the strikes as Israel continued its attacks against Hamas militants in Gaza. The Iranian Revolutionary Guard, generally known as the Rev Guard, is considered a terrorist organization by the United States and other governments. The group says it targeted the compound of a businessman who coordinated with Mossad. Tonight, Raleigh City Council leaders will continue to hear public comments on the Israel-Hamas war. Hundreds of people are signed up to speak. Kelsey Coffey explains what they hope to accomplish.
The meeting could last at least 3.5 hours tonight if each speaker goes to the podium here at City Hall. Now, pro-Palestinian protesters are asking for city council members to sign a resolution that calls for two things, an immediate ceasefire and for the U.S. to stop funding the Israel military. You can see protesters at a previous city council meeting here, some accusing the council of being complicit to death and destruction in Gaza.
Every single second, you are not calling for a ceasefire and an immediate end to funding Israel. Is every second that I might lose my mother, my father, my siblings, and my house.
After hours of public comment, Raleigh Mayor Marianne Baldwin says she and other council members were shaken. She says the council will continue to listen, considering both sides.
I've heard from members of our Jewish community who do not feel safe. They feel left out. They feel like their voices aren't heard. And what I'm really concerned about is that this is kind of tearing apart our community.
Mayor Baldwin says the council has discussed a resolution several times, but she says they haven't been able to agree on whether to pass one and what that would actually look like. Either way, she says whatever happens here in Raleigh wouldn't impact the federal government's decision. Tonight's meeting is scheduled for 7 o'clock. Kelsey Coffey, WRAL News in Raleigh.
Since the pandemic, it can be hard for some to imagine ever going back into the office 5 days a week.
According to a Gallup poll, just 20% of workers were fully on site in 2023, down from 60% in 2019. NBC's Christine Romans explains what could be next.
Frank, could you mute your line, please?
From the dreaded mute button mistake to a revealing Zoom call.
Your whole team can see your upper thigh.
Hybrid work is here to stay. A survey of CEOs found just 4% say they'll prioritize getting workers back in the office full-time this year. Bosses more interested in keeping their workers happy than keeping cubicles staffed 9 to 5 from Monday to Friday.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
The pandemic ushering in a shift in how and where and when we work. With unemployment near a 50-year low, CEOs are desperate to retain talent.
Their bigger fear is losing good workers, not getting them into the office.
Absolutely, as it should be, because good workers are the key to driving financial results for your organization.
Each industry is a little different. Banks brought back workers 5 days a week early. Amazon told staff in November they need to be in the office 3 days a week. So did Meta. But UPS wants office workers back full-time later this spring. After all, the drivers can't work from home.
Like, why are we doing this?
On social media, plenty of griping about going into the office at all.
There's just so many options out there that don't involve people going back to the office.
But the dream of 100% work from home is fading, much like the dream of 5 full days in the office. Nearly full-time remote work has plummeted from 34% in 2022 to just 1% last year.
Get back to work.
Back to work for many in 2024 will mean getting back to work at home and in person for good.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, following some breaking news out of the NFL, reports are saying Philadelphia Eagles center Jason Kelce is retiring. Adam Schefter tweeted this. Six-time All-Pro and future Hall of Fame center Jason Kelce told his Eagles teammates in Monday night's postgame locker room that he is, in fact, retiring. This all comes after that devastating 32-9 playoff loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last night. Kelce spent his entire 13-season NFL career with the Eagles. He won Super Bowl 52 back in 2018, and you also might remember last year he got to play his brother Travis Kelce, Travis Kelce's team. It was the first time that two brothers had played each other in a Super Bowl, so a super cool moment for him. Just an outstanding career, if in fact this news is true.
So I'm tearing up coming off the field last night, so I'm guessing it is. Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are moving on in the NFL playoffs. They crushed the Philadelphia Eagles last night in the final game of the wild card round. 32-9 was the final. The Buccaneers will play Detroit next week in the NFC divisional round. That game between the Buccaneers and Lions will air at 3 Sunday afternoon on WREL. Before that, on Saturday night at 8, the Packers and 49ers will play in the other NFC divisional round game on Fox 50.
In Monday's first game, snow didn't keep the Buffalo Bills and their fans from having a good time. Quarterback Josh Allen threw for 3 touchdowns and ran for another one as the Bills took down the Pittsburgh Steelers 31-17. The Bills will host another home game in the next round of the playoffs. The Kansas City Chiefs will come to town for a game Sunday night. Ozempic and Wegovy are no magic pills. Why diet and exercise still matter if you want to lose weight.
The bitter cold is putting charging stations for electric cars in a deep freeze. The frustrated drivers and the response from Tesla. Take WREL News with you on the go. Download the WREL News app to stay up to date on breaking news and weather alerts.
One of the most common New Year's resolutions is to lose weight. Many people are turning to diabetes medications such as Ozempic and Wegovy.
The treatments help people lose about 15% of their body weight, but Dee Dee Steepen explains these medications alone are not a quick solution.
What we need to know about taking any intervention for obesity, including these two new medications, is that they're not a quick fix. They're not a magic pill or, in this case, a magic injection.
Dr. Andres Acosta, a Mayo Clinic expert in treating obesity and co-author of the Mayo Clinic Diet RX, says in order to achieve healthy long-term weight loss, tools like weight loss medications need to be part of a multidisciplinary program that includes diet and exercise routines.
The diet is still key. What this medication is doing is suppressing our appetite so I don't feel that hungry, so I can't eat less. So diet is important.
Dr. Acosta recommends sticking to a healthy, low-calorie, high-protein diet to ensure healthy weight loss.
When the medications or effects are coming off or we want to stop the medications, it's important that we consider what diet intervention I'm going to do, what changes I'm going to do to my lifestyle, in my diet, in my exercise, in my physical activity, in order to keep that weight off for a longer period of time.
For the Mayo Clinic News Network, I'm Dee Dee Steepen.
You've also probably heard about Dry January. That's when people give up alcohol for the first month of the new year. But have you heard of the new trend called California Sober? That's when people switch one addictive substance for another. Although the term has gained some popularity, health experts say it's not a safe alternative, as users can still experience negative consequences.
EVs might be the wave of the future, but they are no match for extreme weather.
We got a bunch of dead robots out here.
Dead robots.
The one piece of advice for EV owners as the temperature plummets.
Plus, the government's pulling the plug on humorous electronic messages on the highway. When those clever messages are set to go away. Federal Highway Administration is getting rid of funny messages on the overhead electronic signs. Starting in 2026, the signs with obscure meanings, references to pop culture, or those intended to be funny will no longer be allowed. The government says those signs can be distracting or even misunderstood. But some drivers say the signs catch their attention while helping them stay informed.
I personally will miss them if they're leaving because they actually catch my attention. Boring stuff doesn't really catch my attention very well. So I always like seeing the fun stuff, the puns and the funny ones.
Once the ban goes into effect, drivers can expect to see signs with simple, clear messages.
Some of them had me chuckling there.
Yeah.
Electric cars may be the way of the future, but it's clear there are some problems when it comes to charging them in extreme cold weather. Dane Placco spoke with some frustrated Tesla owners in Chicago.
Dead Teslas packed the parking lot at this Tesla supercharging station in Oak Brook, a scene mirrored at other supercharging stations around the Chicago area.
Man, this is crazy. It's a disaster, seriously.
With temperatures falling into the negative double digits, these charging ports have stopped charging, leaving many Tesla owners stranded here in long lines since Sunday.
Nothing, no juice, it's still on 0%. And this is like 3 hours this morning being out here, after being out here 8 hours yesterday.
Has it been charging?
No, not at all.
It just isn't working?
At all. It's just frozen, and so I'm now getting it towed to the Tesla service center because that's my only option at this point.
Adding to their frustration, they say, is that they're getting no help when they call Tesla for assistance.
No response from Tesla. We have been suffering since yesterday afternoon.
These are unusually cold temperatures, but do you find this acceptable?
No, not at all. Not really. I think it's less on the actual vehicle and more on the infrastructure.
A lot of frustration there. That was Dane Placco reporting. An automobile expert tells us that users of all EVs should hit the battery precondition button on their car before trying to charge it in extremely cold weather. We're going to be getting some of that cold weather.
It's not a ringing endorsement for the EVs out there, certainly. And we have a blast on our way. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center. And we're waiting for this.
We are, I guess. It's coming, no matter what our opinion is of it, that's for sure. So we've had some waves of rain moving through this morning. We're seeing a little bit of a break in the triangle right now, but you can see more of this rain redeveloping as another low starts to move up the coast of South Carolina. That's going to push some rain in, but gradually this whole thing pulls away from us. So by the time we get to 4 or 5 o'clock, the rain is over. But at that point, we really start to see the cold air spilling in pretty quickly. So at this point, compared to what we saw at the beginning of the newscast, we're seeing a little break in the precipitation, minus just a little bit of drizzle. We'll zoom in up here along the I-95 corridor, Roanoke Rapids, that last bit of rain moving out. Infield, you're still seeing a little bit of a shower, but again, seeing a bit of a break in spots. Durham still has water on the camera lens, and there's a bit of drizzle happening there, but nothing heavy like it was a little earlier. We take a look at futurecast, and we're still likely to have a few waves swinging through, especially from Raleigh eastward. There's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We'll push it ahead to 4 o'clock. We're mostly done by 4 to 5 o'clock and then cloudy. But overnight, we'll see clearing and we're going to see very cold temperatures that roll in with temperatures in the teens to begin with. So if you're sending your kids out to the bus stop tomorrow morning by 7 a.m., it's going to feel like 13 degrees at 9 o'clock, 17, at 11 o'clock, 24, 29, at 1 o'clock. Now, we will see lots of sunshine. That tends to help things, but it's going to be a blustery day tomorrow. Obviously, that's where we're going to see that wind chill and cold and blustery and cold. Take a look at all this cold up here. Wind chills currently, or I should say at about 11 o'clock tonight, are going to be easily in the teens and single digits up to our north and west. That's where our air is coming from. 11 o'clock tonight, we could see a wind chill temperature of about 14. By the afternoon tomorrow, looking at feeling like right around freezing. We continue to see some chilly temperatures Thursday morning at around 25. That'll be the wind chill. We see a milder day on Friday with some rain coming through. But then by Saturday morning, you know, down into the low teens and potentially some single digits across our area for Sunday morning. So just bitterly cold temperatures coming in a couple of waves, one tonight and tomorrow and another over the weekend. That wind chill Sunday morning could easily be down in the low teens to even, you know, into the single digits. Now, in the middle, we're going to see a chance of some light showers on Friday. There's 9 a.m. We're going to see a futurecast pulling that out to closer to lunchtime or so. Really up in the air about whether or not we're going to see rain on Friday. Some of the models are saying, yes, we'll see some scattered showers. Others are just dry. So stay tuned for Friday and we'll see what happens. Looks like we could easily see some snow in the mountains and up to our north, but right now we don't have that in our forecast. 41 tomorrow, upper 40s Thursday and Friday. And then, of course, we're cold Saturday and Sunday with those morning lows down into the teens and the wind chill also in the low teens to even some single digits. Monday, our temperature bounces way up to 47. How about that? 47 looks warm. We'll take it after some of those temperatures, Elizabeth. We'll talk about the unbreakable bond between a man and his dog.
Once you get a pet, you know, they automatically are part of the family. And that's my girl. That's our girl. So, hey, Roxy.
The lengths he went through to save his fur baby from a coyote attack.
And here, have a look at your winning Powerball numbers on your screen right now.
As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. As cold air moves into the area, agencies in our area are getting prepared. Duke Energy tells WREL it expects to be able to meet the demand for this week. Now is the time to prepare an emergency kit, just in case you do lose power, like having canned foods and battery-powered lanterns. And we have an update on the shooting that left two women dead in Apex. We now know one of the names of the victims, 36-year-old Gabrielle Raymond. Police have not identified her publicly yet, but WREL's Chelsea Donovan spoke with her parents, who say she lived in that neighborhood. They are devastated. The suspect, Harry Hardman, is due in court at 1:30 today. WREL will be there.
White House officials tell WREL President Biden will be in the Raleigh-Durham area this week. The president will be talking about his economic agenda. He'll visit the Triangle just days after the first votes were cast in the 2024 presidential nomination contest. North Carolina's primary election is March 5th. Biden will be the lone Democrat on the ballot.
A Lansing, Michigan man is making the most of the winter storm that brought the area heavy snow. He devoted his time to create this masterpiece. Instead of staying warm inside, he made an orca whale sculpture out of snow. And he even made it look like the whale was in the water.
You know, I'm going to go out and, you know, first thought was build a snowman. You know what I mean? But when I went out there, I'm like, snowmans get kind of old. So I was like, let me try something different. And then the orca whale just hit my head. I love orcas. It's wintertime. It feels like Antarctic. So we haven't had that yet here this year.
That orca jumping out in a sea of snow. He said it took 9.5 hours to build, and of course he had plenty of material to use with all that snow.
A South Carolina man risked his own life to save his little pup from a coyote attack. The owner was taking his dog Roxy out when he noticed her walking towards the woods, and that's when the man noticed a coyote ready to pounce. The owner didn't waste any time jumping into action. His efforts caught on camera here. A coyote bit the man on the leg, but he wrestled it down, choked it, and threw it in the dumpster by the tail until he could get help.
I knew I would have been all right, even if I had got bit and got rabies or something. I knew I could get treated for him, but if she had got bit, it was over.
Yeah, that man went to the doctor and got 9 rabies shots. He says he feels good and will now keep his coyote-proof vest on Roxy when she goes outside. State health officials picked up the body of the coyote. It's being tested for rabies.
Yeah, no one will mess with Roxy. Our pet of the day comes to us from Red Barn Rescue. Meet Sam. He's a 7-year-old shepherd mix looking for a loving family. Sam is dog friendly, healthy, and house trained. He would enjoy a home with calm people who will enjoy his company and care for him. Sam has lots of love to offer. All he asks for in exchange is stability and security and kibble. If you're looking for an easy companion, go to redbarnrescue.com and apply to meet Sam.
Very soon, hundreds of thousands of Wake County homeowners will find out the new value of their property. The County Tax Administration has been assessing the real estate values and will present the 2024 values today. This revaluation happens every 4 years and will reflect the county's growth and high demand for housing. Property owners will begin to receive notices next week of their new value of the property. If you disagree with the new assessed value, you can file an appeal form. New tax rates have not been set yet. Leaders will vote on those in June. So folks are always happy when their house is worth more, but
right.
then you pay more.
Taxes. Yeah. NBC News Daily is next on WREL and your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. Try to stay dry out there. Stay warm. Have a good day.
Keep watching WREL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.